As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host.
As a CEO of a First Nations company, how does a company that runs the operations of the First Nations being dealt with? This is what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. Welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This episode, we are happy to have Mr. Olson. Welcome to the show, Andy. And he's the CEO of Nuchanu Seafood. He's an experienced manager with a demonstrated history of working in First Nations government administration. He also understands community vision and connects with membership, skilled in negotiation, natural resources, environmental awareness, fisheries, and endangered species. He is also adept in grant or proposal writing with a proven success in that arena. A strong research professional with a Bachelor of Applied Science focused in marine, freshwater biology, ecology, and biological oceanography from the Evergreen State College. Welcome again to the show, Andy.
Great. Thank you.
I'm so happy that you accepted my invitation that I said I wanted to explore more about the stories of First Nations. So maybe you can tell our audience, how does NCN prioritize and incorporate traditional indigenous knowledge and sustainable fishing practices to ensure the long-term health of the oceans and marine ecosystems?
Sure. As our pillars, we have the Nuchanu principles as our pillars in our vision and mission statement with Isak, Hishuk, Sawak, and Uathluk, taking care of all things being critical to how we manage our business and how we work to support fishermen that engage in sustainable fishing activities. The First Nations being place-based, they have no other place to, you know, use their rights and title other than where they live and fish. So it's sustainability is at the forefront of everything that they do.
I really like that when you were saying that. And I'm a big fan when people say about pillars, because I don't know if I did share with you before, my three pillars of sustainability is leadership, partnership, and stewardship. And I think that's very much in alignment with what you mentioned was their mission statement. So maybe you can share with us some specific initiatives or partnerships your company has undertaken to minimize its environmental impact, protect critical habitats, and promote responsible fishing practices within First Nations communities.
Sure. We work with generally the fisheries that we're participating in and have licenses for are local in area, so they're near to the communities that we work with, and that reduces the amount of fuel that they need to use. That delivering locally, fishing in fisheries that are considered sustainable in nature. And one of the ways that we participate in that is some of the work that we do outside of the fishing to sit at the tables, the IFMP decision-making process and the Area 23 Harvest Roundtable to support those fishers having opportunity, but in a managed method that creates a sustainable fishery for the future.
Thank you for sharing that. And just for our audience information, we've been partners with NCN for 6 years now, because we were working on the urchin fishery. So it's been a delight having a relationship with you guys because it's just so easy and flowing. It's not something sometimes people will hear about some challenges with a relationship with the First Nation. But so far, our business relationship has gone to a point now wherein it's just natural, which is what I think what we mean by sustainable partnership. So maybe you can tell us, in light of the growing global concern about overfishing and the impacts of climate change on seafood stocks, what strategies and innovation is NCN employing to not only thrive economically, but also contribute to the conservation and restoration of our oceans and coastal environments?
For sure. We participate in a part of our programming involves marine stewardship education. So we work with the communities to get this year, I think we supported 15 children going to their science camp and getting educated in the environment and impacts and pollution and all those other things that are part of living as a New Chalnuth person. So that's one of the ways that we've contributed. We've also contributed to the language program for communities with money back from our gratitude seafood line. And then, like I said, we work together to manage our seafood producers by focusing on licenses that we think are fishing and sustainable operations and sustainable fisheries. We have some trawl licenses and quota, but for the most part, we don't have those fishing. We just use that quota to move fish into other fisheries that we feel are more sustainable and have a longer term opportunity for our community members.
That's wonderful that you guys get to do all this educating the kids program. That's a really good program. So how did you get in touch with Nutranube? Before, I know I had interviewed Jennifer on the show. So how did this all came about?
Sure. Previously, I was working for the Native Fishing Association. And before that, I worked for Sichot First Nation in Port Alberni, managing their first fisheries and pick fee commercial fishing enterprise. So between that and then going to NFA, then the Native Fishing Association was a great opportunity for me to work more directly with fishers and not community as much. So that gave me a bit of a different perspective on how we need to support fishermen as well as the nations and their goals to have opportunities in sustainable fishing.
But generally, like, were you interested when you were younger in marine biology because your focus is on the ecology and biological oceanography? Were you very much interested with that even as a young person, or how was there someone who influenced you?
No, I think, yeah, I absolutely was always interested in fish and the outside, and being outdoors was a passion of mine. I went into food service for about 10 years and worked in kitchens and nursing homes and retirement homes. And that was a passion of mine as well. I part of my passion is serving. And that so in my role as a fisheries manager and CEO at a First Nations fishing company, I'm able to serve the communities in that role, but also, you know, focus on the passion that I have for fish and the environment and seafood and those types of things. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for me in this job that I have. And while I started out as a biologist and fisheries manager, now I'm a CEO of a seafood company. So my life has changed and so has my career many times.
I really like that, what you said. Not only the roadmap that you've been through, like from the career change that you have, but most importantly, when you were talking about serving, I think it's important that that's one of the, I guess, crucial things when someone is a leader is being able to serve, and especially in your case, the nations that you're involved with. And so what's next for Nutranu? How do you see Nutranu 3 years from now?
I think for us, the next steps are taking the licenses that we have and making those licenses more supportive for the fishermen that are fishing them, and being a facilitation agent and making those fishermen more viable businesses so that they're not struggling to make ends meet while we reap the benefits of owning the licenses. We should be in that space of supporting them, making more from the access and the licenses that we work with them on. So I think that's the next steps, is being more integrated in our fishing business and supporting the fishermen in more ways. And hopefully that makes more for our company as well.
I really like that word too, integration. I think that's important when we're talking about sustainability, is coming from a holistic point of view in terms of what we can integrate from existing processes and or enterprise that people have. And so I ask about what you see Nutanuti years from now. What about for you? Do you still see yourself being a CEO? What's next for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, having just started this last spring at Nutanuti, I really feel like this is a fresh opportunity. It's in a community that I love and in a place that I love. So it's something that I'm committed to developing for the long term, and have my fingers involved in seeing something turn from what we have now into something that supports the communities and the shareholders, fishers, even more.
Do you have like some story that you can share about the nations? I know that nations have lots of really interesting story. What makes Nutanu different, and some of the stories that probably from the grandfathers and from the ancestors that you can share, since we're doing this recording on Halloween? So maybe something that you can share along. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the interesting stories and traditions are related to the Broken Group Islands and Barkley Sound and their history of their gods being angry, and there was a whalebone club that made the earth fall, and so what was all land became islands. And the interesting thing to me is that they have, while this is like a kind of a fairy tale-ish like story, they have archaeological evidence of the sea level actually dropping significantly about 300 years ago. And they have evidence of the tsunami that it caused in the records, in the Japanese tsunami records. So it's a fact that it happened, but it's a story that has come from generation to generation of Nutanuth in understanding their impact on the world, and that they need to be considerate of that. And that if they're not, something like this could happen. So it reminds me of the fragility of, you know, where we live, and the fact that we live on an island, that this same thing could happen at any moment. So, you know, it's exciting and scary at the same time.
Wow, thank you for sharing it. My goal for this whole season when I'm doing this with the nations would be to capture all these stories, because I think that's sometimes what bind us as a nation, are the stories within each territory. So thank you for being on the show, Andy. My biggest takeaway from our conversation is when you were talking about serving and obviously integration. I think it's important that no matter what the branding, what the territory is, it's important that we come from a point of view of serving and having inclusion. I talked about inclusion, and when you were talking about integration, that's really important for me. How can they get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn, or you can find us at NutanuSeafood.com. Otherwise, Andy Olson at NCNSeafood.com.
Thank you again for being on the show, Andy. Please remember to review the show and see you next week. Remember, you help build a home in the Philippines every time we launch an episode on the podcast. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thanks, Lotus. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues, and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.